Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
And the 2-2 hit sharply right at Torkelson. And the Tigers hold on and win this one 3-1 as the Astros leave the bases loaded and all of Motown can exhale. Oh, what a game. And the Tigers lead this best of 3-1-0.
Too little, too late, y'all. The Astros drop game one, 3-1 to the Detroit Tigers. Game one of the AL Wild Card Series. Astros going to need a big-time win tomorrow to keep this thing alive. I'm looking at Brian McTaggart right now. Brian didn't know this. Brian McTaggart just told me via Twitter that the Astros have lost 6 playoff games in a row at home. I don't know that Astros fans needed to hear that.
That goes back to last year and that anomalous, garbage about them not playing well at home.
Sure.
Clearly not a situation this year. So,
yeah.
That's almost like, franchise records against certain opponents in any sport, especially football, though, since every roster changes like by 50% from 1 year to the next. It means absolutely nothing.
You hear that, Brian? Your tweet means absolutely nothing.
Yeah, though. Get that garbage out of here. Like, I love Brian McTaggart's tidbits and all that stuff, but that is a. That's poop.
Yeah, look here, to just recap the game real quick. Framber Valdez gives up 3 runs in the second inning, all off of singles. He throws 78 pitches in 4 1/3 inning. He gets pulled after those 78 pitches. I think of note in the relievers, Ronel Blanco threw 2 innings, threw 50 pitches. So, as Sean said a little earlier, Blanco's probably not going to be available tomorrow. Yordan Alvarez was active, was good to go today, and he was 2-for-4 at the plate. He did have a strikeout, but he was 2-for-4 at the plate. So, Sean, look, clearly missing that Guardians series didn't bother Yordan Alvarez too much.
No, if there's any cause for concern in me, it's that we still haven't seen if the guy can run a lick or not. I thought we were going to have the opportunity a couple of different times. He wound up on second base. With less than 2 outs in, the first time they didn't move him over. I don't think the Astros, up until the 9th inning, had a runner make it to third base all game long. And in the ninth inning, when Alvarez got on with a leadoff double, they promptly pinch run for him with Zach DeCinzo. So it's just, it is a big deal because you're going to need the guy's bat in the lineup. When you're only able to scratch one run across and you're out hit 10-7 today and what we already knew was going to be a fantastic pitching matchup, you know it's going to be another tough one tomorrow regardless of who the Tigers have on the mound for them. You do have Hunter Brown. The bats are just going to have to come alive. If Yordan gets on, I want to see him run. How well, that's going
to
be a question.
Well, I'd like for everybody to be swinging the bats well enough, Bijani.
Where you don't have to worry about
it. We ain't got to worry about it, right? He's going to need a little help tomorrow. Today was too little, too late. It was very dramatic, and it was fun to watch, but it was too little, too late. So these bats got to get rolling a little bit earlier tomorrow for Hunter Brown. Here is Joe Espada talking about who's going to start tomorrow's game, as well as a little bit on Fromber's performance here tonight or today in Game 1.
Joe, who will start for you tomorrow?
Hunter Brown.
And what did you see from Fromber today, just overall?
You know what? I thought his stuff overall was good. Just this, you know, his sinker was staying kind of up in the zone a bit. And they got some pretty good swings on those pitches. You know, he battled through five. He gave us a shot there. But I just thought that, usually when you see that sinker getting away from righties and you start seeing ground balls and the swing and miss on curveballs, that's a sign of where Fromber stands that day. But I give it to him. He battled. He gave us five innings to give us a chance to win.
Gave you a chance to win, just those three runs early, man. You didn't have enough firepower at the plate to get back get back to it. But big news is, again, the Yordan Alvarez is swinging it well, and that's the bat that changes your lineup. Bregman swung it well today. I mean, hit one off the top of the wall.
Yeah, inches away from a homer.
If it gets out, then you got a chance. Diaz came through with a clutch single late. I mean, it's just that it was again. You got to get this thing cranking a little bit earlier with all these guys around Yordan Alvarez.
If there's, to me, there's a lot of silver lining. And look, it means nothing, especially when your season's on the line tomorrow. But maybe it does in the game tomorrow. You had a number of very important at-bats today throughout the course of this game in which, the Astros are, one, trying to get out of a situation on defense, but then trying to create some havoc offensively. And you mentioned Yiner Diaz right now. What a hell of an at-bat in his final plate appearance. He quickly goes down 0-2, swings at a ball just in the left-hand batter's box, got a splinter of wood on that ball that caused it to hit the dirt before the catcher had corralled it. Umpires had to convene, and then he comes through. I can't tell you how many times where we're sitting here doing a show at night, me and PC just look at each other and we're shaking our head, pounding the desk, pissed off. And then a moment later, Yiner comes up with a big hit. He does that, routinely. McCormick came up with a big at bat today. Victor Caratini came up with a big at bat today. Yordan Alvarez, gimpy on one good knee, gave you a couple of hits and put himself in scoring position twice. So if they can put that all together and get it reciprocated with good defense and more good pitching tomorrow, Clint, you have to feel really good about this ball club.
I feel good about this ball club any way you slice it.
Now, being a little funk?
With the exception of being down 1-0 in a three-game series, I feel good about the Astros, man. This is where that championship DNA, this is where it shows up, and this is where a lot of teams will blink and be overwhelmed and not put their best foot forward. I believe the Astros are going to do that. We'll see what happens tomorrow. Here's another quick stat that we'll see if Sean Bijani poo-poos this one right here. Valdez, his tough outing today of, again, 4 1/3 innings pitched, 3 earned runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 3 Ks. His last 4 playoff starts have been rough, man. 4 1/3 today, giving up 3 earned, 5 innings against Texas, and giving up 5 earned. These are obviously last year. 2 2/3 innings pitched against Texas, giving up 4 earned. And 4
Where's your damn head at, dude?
4 1/3 against Minnesota, giving up 5 earned. Fromber's not been good in the playoffs of late, at least his last 4 starts. So hopefully.
Last year and this year combined.
Hopefully, if we see him again this year, we got some work to do before that happens. But if we see him again this year, hopefully he can put an end to that. To that mess.
I think you have to believe that he will, too. I mean, we've seen Fromber Valdez pitch like a Cy Young caliber pitcher, this entire second half of the season, and more times than not this year. He's very capable. Last year, he went into the season as the team's de facto ace until they got Justin Verlander back. This year, he's basically become the ace with Justin Verlander being on the shelf with injury and not being himself. But thank God you've got a guy like Hunter Brown to hopefully be a stopper tomorrow, who is very much looking like the ace that he was projected to be.
5 o'clock fire.
You mentioned Verlander right there, Justin Verlander. There's a little bit of news that broke earlier today. By 10 a.m. this morning, they had to decide, the Astros, that is, of who was going to be on the playoff roster. And a big question, I think the thought of whether he had pitched well enough to be on this roster, I think most of us knew the answer to that. But what the Astros would do, I think, is a different question. You've got Justin Verlander, Joe Espada, Dana Brown. Those are the guys that got to talk to him face-to-face. And let's be honest, about 10 days ago, two Fridays ago, you mentioned, you time-stamped it, Justin Verlander, look, he took Dana Brown and Joe Espada, he let him off the hook when he is himself said, look, I would understand, I've not pitched well enough. He even made it sound like he came back too early and the injury was still an issue. Right. And so he really put it out there several days ago for Joe Espada and Dana Brown to feel comfortable in having this conversation with Justin Verlander. But here's Joe Espada talking about the meeting that he had with Justin Verlander to obviously let him know that he was not going to be on this wild card round here, the roster for the Astros in this wild card round.
It was a very easy conversation. You know, Justin Verlander is a professional. He knows how well our starting pitchers have performed throughout the season. So when we had this conversation, he was all in. He'll do what's best for this team. So I appreciated his feedback and how he evaluated his season and his last few starts. And you know, true pro. He is a true pro.
Yeah, I tip my cap to Justin Verlander for being that true pro.
Yeah.
I think they made the right decision. Obviously, they've got plenty of arms, you know, that deserved and have earned and have produced, and the team should be very confident in, well above Justin Verlander. I don't know what's going to happen moving forward. I like the fact that you've got Justin Verlander waiting in the wings. If anything does happen in this round to anybody's arm or it, for whatever reason, I do remember, I don't remember what year it was, but I remember Greinke being in a situation where they knew he couldn't give him but two or three innings, but it was an emergency situation and he had to pitch and yada, yada, yada. I don't remember the exact situation, you may, with your photographic memory of the Astros, but my point in saying all that is, boy, to have Justin Verlander waiting in the wings potentially at some degree down the stretch as that emergency guy is a pretty powerful piece
of it. You could do a lot worse than a future Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
You could do a lot worse than, look, if we're being honest, Verlander won two out of his last three starts. The team won two out of his last three starts. He wasn't given the decision. He had a quality start his last regular season outing, which I thought had to be a big boost of confidence for him. But when you've got that guy waiting in the wings, if you know what actually hits the fan, that's great. But you're going to have to win two games in a row for you know what to actually hit the fan, and the Astros to have to consider to bring him back up and make him an asset going forward the rest of the way, and I would love for that to be the situation.
5 o'clock fire.
Crank it up, T.
Ah!
Y'all know what that means, baby. It's a Texans Ticket Tuesday. Woo. The giveaway is here. If you've been listening, if you got your people listening, if you got your phone in your hand, it's that time. Caller number 5, 713-572-4610. 713-572-4610. Caller number 5. Look at that old call log, that old screen right there, light up like a Christmas tree, y'all. It's beautiful to know y'all are out there listening, to be able to tangibly see it. We greatly appreciate you. I don't know who's going to win this. Tyler will let us know here shortly, but we greatly appreciate everybody listening. These are front row seats to Sunday's game, Texans, Bills. It is a monster game. Sean, this is the game ultimately that if you look at now, in hindsight, we can talk about Minnesota. Minnesota's a better football team than we thought they were. The Texans didn't match up well. They didn't come out on the flip on the backside of that well at all, right?
Right.
But right now, as we came into this season, this is the first game on the schedule where I think everybody looked at it and said, okay, if you're going to truly believe and truly prove that you belong in the conversation with the top AFC football teams, that's the Chiefs, That's the Ravens. That's the Bills. I'm not talking about necessarily – I don't know how it's going to shake out this year, but I'm just talking about generally speaking, big picture, over the last handful of years, the big boys in the AFC have been those football teams.
100%.
If you're going to prove that you belong in that conversation, you're 3-1 after a month of NFL football, this is the Sunday versus the Bills for you to stand up and prove that you belong in that conversation. We've not seen A-plus football from the Texans together. We have not seen all units, complimentary football. We have not seen the best product that the Texans can put on the field yet. Not for four quarters. It's going to take that Sunday versus the Bills, and if they do that, they can definitely win the football game. Hell, they can win it convincingly if they do that, potentially. But this game, Sean, is a monster game around all of the NFL landscape, not just here in Houston.
100%. So good luck to whoever wins those tickets. And they're not just any tickets. They're front row tickets. So how about that? I would say this, like counterpoint. Okay, yeah, everything you said is true. We're waiting to see the Texans play their best football, but I'm also waiting to see the Kansas City Chiefs to play their best football. I'm waiting to see the Baltimore Ravens play their best football. I'm waiting to see the Buffalo Bills play their best football. All of the teams, I mean, hell, even the Pittsburgh Steelers, yep. Those teams, you talk about the last 5-6 years, they've all taken up the space within the AFC title game, right? It's been all of those teams. Well, the Texans are trying to kick their way into that party, right? They want a seat at the table. Neither one of those teams, if we're being honest, has played their best football that we've seen them play over the course of the last 5, 6, 7 years. So I think you have to feel pretty damn good about still being 3-1, and the coaching staff, the quarterback, the weapons around him, the guys defensively, and somebody brought this up on the text line earlier, and I'm kind of getting a little bit more excited about it. We have to wait a couple weeks. But Danico Autry is going to be able to play football here very, very soon.
Yes, he is.
For this Houston Texans team. So that's going to be very, very big as well for a team that struggled to get home against Trevor Lawrence, who had been sacked like 11 times through his first 3 games this season. You know, just maybe pump the brakes a little bit on so much panic. How often do you see an NFL team as good as they're supposed to be play perfect football week in and week out?
Look, I don't think anybody's counting them out, but damn it, you got to start putting up or shutting up one of the two. I mean, here's my thing is when you talk about those top teams, the Chiefs are 4-0. We don't need they're going for a three-peat. We don't need to question any. I can't question anything that they're doing. They've ravaged by injuries in the wide receiver room, and they're still finding a way to get it done. What a time for Davante Adams to come on the market, by the way, when you got about 3 or 4 contenders that can use
the
receiver.
Don't you dare I'm just trying to connect the dots there.
Just saying, man. That's,
oh, my God.
But you look at Buffalo. Who did Buffalo beat the hell out of week two? Who was that Buffalo went in there and just, I mean, was it Miami?
Oh, Miami, yeah.
I mean, just beat the doors off of Miami, and that was with Tua. That's actually the game when Tua got hurt, so that's a more impressive win than what we're doing lately versus Skylar Thompson and Tyler Huntley and what we saw last night with the Titans and Dolphins. So that's a quality win. You've seen them play some of their best football and get a good win. You look at the Baltimore Ravens, rough start, but they beat the doors off of Buffalo last week. And so my only pushback, Sean, is of those teams, agree wholeheartedly that, boy, Baltimore hadn't played their best football.
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo looked bad last week. You know, there's definitely, at the top, there's some suspect games out there. But the Texans are the one that I think has been in that conversation, and I'll say belongs in that conversation, that we've yet to see a game of A-plus football, which is a good thing, because you're 3-1, and now you've got plenty of room to improve.
Yeah.
And it would be a hell of a time to play your best football this week against the Buffalo Bills.
It's the level of competition, too, if we're being honest, that I think causes the most concern. Okay, it's because you looked the way that you did against Indianapolis. It's because you looked the way that you did against Caleb Williams and the Bears. It's because you lost to Sam Darnold week 3, like, and nobody wanted to give Sam Darnold the time of day. And maybe rightfully so, but you know what? That's the NFL. I didn't have like a crystal ball, but I just felt like, you know what? It's an away game. It might be Sam Darnold, but Minnesota's a really difficult place to play. I just always thought that was going to be a very difficult game to come away with. Now, I didn't forecast you getting the brakes blown off of you, but I just knew you knew it was going to be tough. And C.J. Stroud has said something 2 years in a row, and maybe it's just football talk, expected quarterback lingo, but it takes a little bit for a team and an offense to kind of get going, get their feet underneath them. And I go back to last year when the Texans really struggled. Bobby Slowick said it himself. He's like, after that week two loss to the Indianapolis Colts, we threw everything out the window. We just had to start from scratch.
I just answered this one also, but...
you know, and that was huge for a guy who'd spent all offseason in his first role ever as a play caller and offensive coordinator to say, you know what, yeah. And a rookie quarterback, by the way, screw this. We're just going to go with this.
Yeah.
And it worked. And they grew and they built on it. They progressed and they played some of their best football the rest of the way. I think that's very much going to be the case this year with a far more talented offensive team at this point in time that they had last year.
Tyler, the Bobby drops are the best. I mean, they're just as a group. Right? I mean, you've got some individual, you know, great ones, but as a group, man, there's about three or four, man, that are just damn, they're hard to
it's
beat.
So
man.
Good.
Boy, they are.
You ever watch Bobby?
They are.
Yeah. Sorry, Bob.
I'm telling you, man, they are hard to beat. All right, we've got some big time news in the NFL. One player has requested a trade from his team, and look here, are the Texans going to be interested in this move? If not, how could it potentially impact the Texans? We'll tell you who that is, and we'll discuss next right here on Sports Radio 610.
The Big Orange Wagon, getting you ready for postseason baseball here in H-Town.
The Astros are not playing for a postseason berth or to get to a certain point in October, no. They are playing for straight-up banners.
New episodes every week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, I hope everybody was listening. I hope everybody had a shot to win the tickets. Texans Ticket Tuesday, giving away two front row tickets to see the Texans-Bills game this weekend. We gave them away last segment. Kevin and Humble, man, greatly appreciate you listening. Appreciate you paying close enough attention to know we was going to give them things away. And congrats on winning. Must be living right, man. Them tickets right there probably got a nice little price tag on them. And you and somebody's gonna have a hell of a time on Sunday. Hopefully the Texans can pull out a dub, play their best football, and prove that they belong in that conversation with them top teams in the AFC, man. But big shout out to everybody that called. Stay tuned. You never know when. Sports Radio 610, Houston sports leader, is going to give it back to the people in the form of tickets. We do it, hell, one week we did it. We did a Thursday ticket giveaway, too. So make sure you dialed in. You never know when it's going to happen. Hey, we early in the show, we got a little breaking news, boys. And now, it doesn't necessarily pertain to the Texans. It's not Texans breaking news, but it is huge news in the NFL, and it has to do with Davante Adams, star receiver for the Las Vegas Raiders. And Davante Adams has requested a trade. He's informed the Raiders that he prefers to be traded. Again, per Mike Garofalo and Ian Rapoport. So those guys, they don't typically miss. If they're going to report it, it's going to be gospel. Davante Adams requesting a trade. Now, this shouldn't surprise anybody. Clearly, there's some serious dysfunction going on in the Raiders organization. Antonio Pierce, the head coach. Did I call him Anthony Pierce earlier? It's Antonio, right?
Yeah, Antonio.
I think I called him Anthony a little earlier. Antonio Pierce, a couple weeks back, apparently in a loss, apparently he did not like what he had seen from his team. A bunch of guys were making business decisions. In other words, they were pulling up, not making tackles. They weren't giving the effort. They weren't being as physical as he wanted them to be, and he felt like they were doing it on purpose. And he said, players are making business decisions. Well, we're going to go make some business decisions, talking about the front office. And so I don't think there's any evidence out there that he was talking about Davante Adams. I think this goes beyond that, a little bit deeper than that. Davante has been, I think, disgruntled since he got to to Las Vegas after it didn't work out with Carr, how they treated Carr. Carr ended up leaving. He's now in New Orleans.
Well, there was evidence in the 2024 social media version of what is maybe evidence.
Yeah.
He liked an Instagram post.
Yeah, well, that's where this mess storm is stemming. Apparently Antonio Pierce liked an Instagram post that, and again, I haven't seen the post, but the messaging on the post was essentially that Devontae Adams had played his last game in a Raiders uniform, and the head coach supposedly, reportedly, liked that Instagram post. And then
has been removed now, by the way, the like.
There you go. Oh, that's been removed. Yeah. All you got to do is punch that red heart, right, I think, to get it off there. But anyway, then Devontae Adams goes on the Kay Adams show, and Kay just straight up asked him, have they contacted you? And he said no, he hadn't heard from anybody. And then shortly after that, he announced that he has requested a trade from the Raiders. I find this interesting. I don't think the Texans obviously are even remotely interested, although they'll tell you that they're always looking for great players and always open for business with great players. But so I don't think this is something that the Texans would be interested in. I don't think that receiver is a need for the Texans in any way, shape, or form at this point, especially your top two guys in Diggs and Nico Collins. But I do think there's a chance. I believe wholeheartedly that there are teams on the Texans schedule, which it's a first place schedule, it's top tier football teams, that are going to be very, very aggressive in the pursuit of Devontae Adams. I believe this is real, Sean, and I think there's a lot of teams on this schedule that are going to be interested.
You tell me yes or no.
Okay.
Buffalo.
Absolutely, 100%. Already called.
Green Bay.
No.
New York, as in the Jets.
Absolutely. That's probably number one on the list, given that's where Aaron Rodgers is.
It's that simple.
Detroit.
No.
Dallas.
Yes. I think Dallas is desperate. I don't know that. I mean, anybody can use CeeDee Lamb. Devontae Adams.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that it's in their best interest to go get another number one receiver that's going to expect the same level of targets. But there is, you know, they did miss in the running back market, obviously. Whether they missed or just didn't play, they missed in the wide receiver market to help CeeDee Lamb. I could see Jerry being desperate enough to go get to definitely pursue Devontae Adams.
That's going
to
be something, though. Ooh. If he goes out and gets a guy who's got what? 2 or 3 years left on a 5-year?
2 years, but I believe I read where it's not none of it's guaranteed.
Okay. Okay. I was going to say, because you ain't paid your dang quarterback yet.
Yeah. Yeah, they did.
They did? Mm-hmm. Did they pay him?
Yeah. Dak?
Yeah. Oh, was that? Dak and CD, that was both. Right before the season
began. It was literally moments before their first game of the season.
Okay.
There it was.
Yeah, the one they hadn't paid yet is Micah.
Micah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Fair enough.
But yes, to answer your question, I think the Cowboys would be interested.
Yeah, okay. Well, then I think it's got to be a possibility, because when it's Dallas, anything's possible. Then if that's a situation. What about Jacksonville?
No.
I mean, you're 0-4.
Devontae ain't going down.
Bring on
Does he
the
get
Jaguars.
A say-so?
Absolutely.
Okay. Not Miami, I wouldn't say, right?
No, I would not say.
Kansas City?
Yes. That's a scary one.
Baltimore?
Boy, that's another scary one. But yes, the answer would be yes. I would think they'd be, and he would be interested.
Those are really the only teams that I would give any serious consideration to. Not Tennessee.
You mean that are on the Texans
schedule? On the Texans schedule, yeah. Not Tennessee. Not New England. Not Indianapolis. I mean, that's it. Everybody else.
not necessarily. I think New England could potentially be interested, but I don't think Devontae would be interested. Devontae wants to go somewhere where he knows they can win a Super Bowl. At least they have a run at a Super Bowl. He's already made his poor decision of going to a dysfunctional organization and thinking that he could raise him from dead. I don't see that. I don't see that happening. But we'll see. I do think Devontae Adams requesting a trade. I do think that. That could end up impacting the Texans' schedule, not anything the Texans would be interested in. But this is a beautiful thing about 2024 NFL. Maybe it's been this way forever. I just haven't covered the NFL my entire life. I was in college football forever, and then so it's just so beautiful when you are a team that is either you've arrived, like again you mentioned Baltimore and Buffalo and Kansas City. I think all three of those teams are going to be interested in this.
Mm-hmm.
boy, if you have a rash of injuries like the Kansas City Chiefs, man, guys like this pop up all the time.
Yeah.
You know, it's like great players damn near every year. Second time it's happened with Devontae Adams.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just like Tyreek Hill. I mean, you like acquiring a game-changing player at a impact position is never out of the question as long as your team is ready to legitimately make a run at this thing.
I don't know if you mentioned this, but there's a Schefter report that says the Vegas Raiders have informed other NFL teams that they are going to consider making a deal. So they're playing the game too, right along with Devontae.
Yeah. I mean, playing hardball is out the window. They're going to agree to disagree and move on to some degree. We'll see what happens there. All right, the Astros drop game one of the wild card series versus the Detroit Tigers. We've got some audio. We ain't going to look in the rearview mirror, baby. We're going to keep our mind in the windshield. Tomorrow's game. Hunter Brown, he spoke about tomorrow's game. I believe Joe Espada maybe even spoke a little bit in a little more depth, a little more at length about Hunter Brown and tomorrow's game. But we'll give you an update on the Astros after dropping game one, 3-1 of the Detroit Tigers, looking forward to game number three. That's next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ryan Hughley's out. Sean Bajani's in. As you can tell with that beat in the background, T-Mill behind the glass is making things work back there. All right,
Tyler Milner.
Yeah, that's right. Take the words right out of my mouth. The Astros dropped game one of the wild card series, AL wild card series, to the Detroit Tigers. Framber Valdez went 4 1/3 through 78 pitches, gave up three runs in the second inning, all on singles. And the Astros bats couldn't get going enough to get back in the game. There was a late surge in the bottom of the ninth inning. They had bases juiced, down 3-1. And Jason Hayward rips a ball down the first baseline. He just hits it right at the first baseman. Game over, too little, too late, and the Astros didn't get it done. I think one thing worth noting in this game is Yordan Alvarez was in the lineup. He was batting third, and he was 2-for-4. The one bright spot, I think, for the entire game, I don't know. Bregman swung it well. He hit a couple in the meat of the game. That mattered as well.
I think there were some big at-bats later in the game.
Oh, there were some huge at-bats later in the game, which is very encouraging, right? I mean, look, you're talking about Jason Hayward ripped one, Caratini pushed one to Oppo and hit it really, really well.
Yiner
Diaz had a clutch single that brought the one run across the plate. I would say the only – I don't recall seeing a ton of Tucker's at-bats, but him and Altuve, obviously – I think Altuve had a rough day. He had a rough day at the office.
Yeah, Tucker was just straight up 0-for-4 and one of the few Astros that didn't strike out today. But I'm like, you know, it's tough because our eyes just kind of naturally go to the television screen as we're doing a radio show, and they seem to kind of pop up with some of the bigger names. And I don't think we missed a Yordan Alvarez at that.
No, we're trying to see if he can move, if he's limping or not.
It's appointment viewing every time that big man's in the box.
That's right. Yeah. But that's what happened today, and it's time to put that behind us, get out of the rearview mirror, get back in that windshield. And what we do know, pretty interesting, really neither manager named their Game 2 starter until after the game. I've not seen who Hinch is named. Has he named the starter?
No, I was looking during the break, and I couldn't find anything. So
It really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter at this point.
I will say real quick, talking about pitching, one of the other things that I think we need to bring up today that, look, the Astros need to win tomorrow for this to be a situation, and I hope it's not, but very interesting that Josh Hader came in to pitch today. We've seen, you know, Joe Espada make a move like this multiple times earlier in the season when Josh Hader was not getting save opportunities, but was rather pitching in games in which they were trailing and or tied. You know, Hader coming in to pitch in a 3-0 game, kind of curious, you know, 15 pitches, clean inning, good, but it's going to be a different ask, something that Josh Hader has not done at all this year, maybe ever in his career, where he might very well need to be called upon in three straight games within this series. If the Astros are going to do what they need to do, that's very much on the table. So I think that's kind of interesting.
If the Astros play three games, his ass better be ready.
Yeah. No, I'm with you there, and he might very well need to be.
I mean, you love the fact that you've got Presley, that you've got Ryan Presley, that you've got Brian Abreu, and You know, that's I'm not opposed to any of those guys being options, but when it's all said and done, if this thing goes three games, it's all hands on deck. And if there's a situation where Hader needs to be the go-to, damn it, he better be ready.
How the tables turn sometimes. Let me ask you this question. Let's just say the Astros make it to a game three in this series.
Okay.
And Josh Hader is effectively unavailable. How comfortable are you with a fresh Ryan Pressly versus an overused Josh Hader?
Well, that's a good question. Mm.
I mean, it's on the table.
I love
right?
Pressly, man, but
a guy
yeah. He's been nails in the playoffs
yes.
his career,
yeah?
bro.
Yeah?
He's
no,
been
no, you're right.
Nails.
You're right.
I mean, there's something about that. I mean, it's a hard question because of it was a rough season. Really, it was a rough season for all three of those guys at given moments, right? Now, Pressly with the injury as well as struggling. That'd be a tough call, man. Again, you know, that this is one of those moments. I don't know how long the playoff run's going to last for the Astros. Hopefully, you know, the whole way. But these are the tough decisions. Tyler, we've talked about them on this show multiple times. Like, the decisions that – like Joe Espada is gonna make or break his, you know, his year for me, definitely for me. I don't know about everybody else, but make or break his year as the manager of the Astros with his decisions that he makes in the playoffs.
I'm trying to do the best I can.
Like, I mean, to me, because there's so many decisions with this team, whether it's the catcher, first base situation, the DH situation, the left field situation, the center field situation, the first base situation.
Batting order.
And then we hadn't talked about starting pitching. We hadn't talked about the in the moment, when to go get somebody, when to, you know, I mean, it's he played it perfect today. Mm. You know, he went and got Fromber and put in Hector Neris. Hector Neris strikes out two to get out of the inning. He used Ronel Blanco and for two innings and he didn't give up any runs. And so really nobody in the bullpen gave up any runs. Mm-hmm. So he pulled the right triggers today, right? He made the right decisions today.
Even think in the field after gets that last double, he pinch runs Zach DeCenzo. Astros get they get what they wanted, which is a bases loaded opportunity to push runs across.
Yeah, I mean,
they just didn't get the big hit.
Chaz McCormick had a great at bat, got the walk, and Jason Hayward. Ain't nothing you can say about that at bat. He was a really good at bat, and barrels one up, and he just hits it right at the first base. And so, look, he's. There's just decisions that are going to have to be made that could potentially make or break. Now, look, it may never rear its ugly head. I don't know, but they're the decisions that could make or break this season. And they really started today, but ultimately it's all going to come to a head tomorrow. See if we can keep this thing rolling. But speaking of Joe Espada's decisions, the most recent decision that he made was that Hunter Brown is going to start game two for the Astros. Here's Joe Espada. Going a little bit deeper, a little more at length about Hunter Brown starting game two.
Oh, you know, Hunter was starting game two from a long time ago. I just never told you guys that. So he's, you know, he's one of the best starters in the game. He's been one of the best pitchers in the second half. So that was a no-brainer for me.
Yeah, look,
thanks.
I've seen so many. Yeah, thanks for not telling us. Thanks for playing with our emotions there, Joe. But the thing about Hunter Brown, recently since they named him the starter, I mean, you go back, you just start scrolling social media and pick a rough game that he had early on. And the number, everybody says, since this start early in the season, Hunter Brown has been this good. And this good is as good as any pitcher in baseball. And so there's no doubt about it, for a long stretch of the season, Hunter Brown has been one of the best pitchers in baseball. Whether you're talking about you know, the going six or seven innings, or you're just talking sheer numbers across the board for a starting pitcher, he's been special. So can he keep that going? If so, then he can keep the Astros' hopes alive.
Was it last postseason that the Astros and Mariners faced off in the first round? And that was
because that's when Neris threw it at Julio, wasn't it?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's or,
what did no? He didn't throw at him. He struck him out and charged the plate or something. He didn't throw at him.
Psychopath.
Yeah. When you go to the postseason every single year for 8 years in a row, it's hard to keep track. They run together. But the reason
I'll
why
see
I
you
ask,
in October.
Reason why I ask is that was actually, the Mariners' first playoff appearance in what, 2 decades, 20 years exactly. I think it was last year. The Tigers making the playoffs for the first time in 10 years. Mm. Got their first postseason victory today in 11 years. The Astros, you know, squashing the Cinderella story, if you will, For a second straight season, that would be a beautiful thing, would it not?
Yeah, yeah, hell yeah, it would be. I don't care. I don't care what they squish. Call them Cinderella. Call them what you want. I just need you to get on through this this wild card series. All right, there's a little bit more here. Hunter Brown, who, by the way, I've said this multiple times, since this guy has arrived. There's just something that I really, and it's obviously it's easy to like a guy that's pitching the way he's pitching, but there's something about Hunter Brown's vibe. There's something about the intensity, maybe the it's not swag because it's more of just confidence than I mean, I just love what this dude's about, man.
I think it's calming.
Oh, it's very calming, yeah. but he is, it's just, it's easy to believe in. It's easy to buy into. It's easy to root for. Mm-hmm. And then he goes out there and pitches like he's pitched. So hell, it ought to be easy. But here's Hunter Brown talking about starting game two and specifically starting game two versus the Detroit Tigers, which, by the way, Detroit is where he grew up and who he rooted for coming up.
Certainly, I think looking back, if I think about it, when I was 10 or 11 years old, I thought about pitching for them. So a little bit different now. And, like I said, I'm just really excited for the opportunity. I believe in this group of guys, and tomorrow's gonna be a fun game.
Like he seemed it's, to me, in watching that video, was it did even more than just the audio, but to me, he just appears to be mature beyond his years. Like definitely. It's one thing to go out there and be able to pitch well, and I tell you, I'm gonna be honest with you. Eric Geddes, very similar.
Yes.
Like their attitude and their confidence and their swag and the vibe and like everything is just, it seems really authentic is where I was trying to say.
Well,
like
you know why?
It's real. It's not some, hey, I pitched well, so I'm going to be this ultra arrogant, ultra confident guy. Like it seems like it's real and genuine and sincere.
Yeah, you know why? They've grown up in an organization that has, just had veterans do nothing but mentor these guys, if for nothing else than being in the same locker room and being examples for them to watch. And a guy like Hunter Brown, who he lockers next to Justin Verlander, I mean, what better of an example for a guy who you grew up as having as your boyhood idol? You get to locker next to him now, and you pitch just like the damn guy, mechanically speaking. And, for Eric Geddes, you've had great examples to look up to and to emulate. For years now, and so I'm not shocked by that at all. By the way, 2022, thanks to Sean Pendergast for correcting me, Astros and Mariners was 2022, not last postseason. Another texter on the text line as well. Appreciate you guys. If you want to feel better about just the Astros in general, what better way than just to crap on the New York Yankees? Fun fact I just saw on Instagram.
I got a message for those Yankee turds.
The Yankees have spent $3.093 billion on their baseball team since 2010 and have less World Series hits than Zach Greinke.
This is not your great granddaddy's Yanks.
So, screw the Yankees.
That's the drive. Tuesday, October 1, baby. It's in the books. Astros lose game one of the wild card series. Game two tomorrow. Hunter Brown is on the bump. 1:30. We will be in studio bringing this thing to you at 2 o'clock, 2 to 6 p.m. In the loop before that. Obviously, Payne and Pendergast from 6 to 10 a.m. Big shout out to everybody that listens to Sports Radio 610. Tell your friends about us. In Houston, we love you, baby. You're damn right it's live, and guess what they did, Reg? This is the first time since Reg been in the building, Sean. Mm-hmm. They let old Dirty grab the steering wheel.
Oh, boy. Oh, man.
They let old Dirty grab his steering wheel. That smooth-talking Reg, nice and easy, easy listening. And then I'm going to come in here barking at y'all's ass. H-Town, get ready, baby.
You fired up, man.
And when I say come after, I'm not talking about my single days out there enjoying the streets. I'm talking about ready to fight.
Yeah, just relax, Melissa. Yeah, relax, baby. Melissa.
Hey, Melissa knows how she knows I'm good with her.
I got a message for those Yankees.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You sit in traffic now, but later, There's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Oh, it's such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Church.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event, happening now, and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.